Get soft if you wanna get soft with it.
Sometimes you feel you gotta love somebody, and that somebody is you. Sometimes we feel we need to touch somebody before we're through. So take my hand and spin me in and hang me in emotions, man. I'll tell you where I think we stand.
Let's get soft if you wanna get soft with it.
All right, everybody, welcome to Emotional Hangs.
That's Kurt Braunohler.
That's Joe DeRosa.
This is the podcast where we explore friendship.
Adult friendship. Human emotions.
Yeah.
It's where we get real soft with each other.
Yeah. On the count of three, Kurt. One, two, three.
Let's get soft!
Not enough adults out there being vulnerable, particularly the men expressing themselves.
It's not an all-male podcast, however.
The men have the biggest problems with it. We can admit to that.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we're focusing on the shit that we need to work on.
Right.
And there's a little bit of an update. I have a little bit of an update on something we've been talking about.
Yes, give it to me.
So in the very first episode of this podcast that was on Feral, Joe convinced me to try therapy, made the phone call. And I finally heard back from her.
A therapist.
And she's fucking booked.
Well, a lot of them are booked.
Wait,
this is going to take some effort.
This common? There's
this
that
is
many?
This is common. You're going to have to take... This is
that many fucking
take...
loony bins in L.A.? Everybody wants to chat?
Sorry, Kurt, that a person who's going to fix all of your problems isn't just readily available.
I don't believe she's going to fix my problems.
Now, look, I called you the other night...
My problems are I don't have a TV show. She's going to fix that fucking problem.
I called you the other day about trying to put a set together for late night and saying... You got to go record it, and then it's going to bomb, and then I'm not going to want to do it. And then you were like, dude, yeah, you're going to have to do this like a bunch of times before it's right, and you just shut the fuck up and do it. Now, if you have that kind of and I said, okay, and I'm doing it now, by the way. Now, if you have that kind of dedication for your fucking Colbert set, how about for your heart, Kurt? How about for your fucking soul?
Time out. You didn't mention it was a Colbert set. Are you getting a Colbert set? Because those are hard to come by, you motherfucker.
No,
you getting
not.
A Colbert set?
I'm not getting a Colbert set. But you got it. You're gonna have to call some. You're gonna have to make multiple.
I'm just gonna get on this woman's waiting list.
No, that's passive.
What?
You need to be more active than that. Here's what I do. Go to your health provider page, mm-hmm. whatever, and go in to your insurance page and get a list of all the mental health providers in your vicinity, which you'll get about 25
just call them
in your zip code. Call the first five.
Listen to me. I'm calling people who with recommendations. I'm going to just walk in.
Listen to me. Listen to me.
Office in a strip mall where somebody just has a chair that I sit in.
Well, yeah. Go get a recommendation from somebody in this fucking city and you'll be paying $500 an hour for somebody to tell you that you're never wrong. Yeah, that's smart. Listen to me. Call the first five numbers.
Okay.
You will get their voicemails because they're helping people, Kurt. They're not sitting by the phone waiting for you to call. And then
that's their first problem. I want somebody who's waiting by the phone for me to call.
Like you're
all right?
Like an agent.
Just like my mom used to
right.
do. All right? I want to be the most important little boy.
So call the first five, they'll call you back, and if you don't get any hits on that, the next day you call five more, all right? That's all.
All right.
All right? But you got to do it. You got to be proactive. You can't, that's passive, I'm going to wait on our waiting list. Forget that.
All right.
Don't do that.
Okay? All right. I mean, I'm still going to get on our waiting list, just in case, you know,
just in case.
I do it just in case, because usually, like, this is something I learned. I remember thinking, this is the dumbest thing, but... In New York City, when I lived there, I found out that there are slips for boats that the city owns that are on like the west side of Manhattan. And there's like 100 slips, but they're free. The city just provides them and they're free, but there's a waiting list of 10 years to get one. But then once you have a slip... In my mind, I was going to buy a boat. I don't own a boat or anything like that. But in my mind, I was like, this is going to be a great way for me to like live in New York as an older person. Mm-hmm. I'll buy a boat and then I'll live because it's free to have this slip. And then I was like, but I never put my name on it because it would be 10 years. And then I remember.
Wait, you were going to live in like the Hudson River?
Yeah, I was going to live
it's
in a
disgusting.
Boat.
Disgusting.
No, it isn't. I've swam in the Hudson River. It's not that bad.
That's real disgusting.
And then I realized one day that the first time I found out about it was about 10 years ago. And I was like, oh, if I had put my name on it, I would have a slip. Mm-hmm. But I still don't have a boat, so it doesn't fucking matter.
No, you do not have a boat.
But I think in my future, I'll definitely live on a boat.
Well, listen, I want you to hang on to that dream, and I want you to tell it to your therapist.
Thank you.
And then she can tell you if it's realistic or not. Let's bring our guests in for today.
Yes.
Because on Emotional Hangs, it's not just Kurt and I exploring aspects of our own friendship.
But it's also getting into friendships of other people.
Yeah.
Other adults in the world.
So we have friends of ours coming in as guests, oftentimes what we'd call a best friend team of two gents we know. And we have two great guys here today that we're both friends with that have a long history between the two of them. Please welcome Vince Averill and Jesse Pop.
Hey, guys.
To the show.
Hello.
That's Jesse. Vince? That's
Vince Averill, yes.
There it is.
Yeah. Kurt, I got a guy downtown for you. I got a guy that you can talk to.
All right, great.
That I went to a few times.
It's just a guy, but he's a therapist.
He happens to have a degree, too. Yeah.
Do you go to therapy?
I don't, but I did a few times, and this dude is, I thought he was pretty legit.
All right.
How come you only went a few times?
Yeah, were you working on something?
Yeah. There was a thing I needed to work on, and then I felt like I had sorted it out.
How many times did it take to sort it out?
I think that's the wrong approach. I don't think you can go into it thinking like there'll be an end.
No, yeah. I'm going
there just
in.
Happened
that's
to
how
be a specific
in.
Thing for me, but
she's got 5 hours to fix me.
I think I went like maybe 3 or 4 times, but that's, I think, everyone.
And you found it helpful.
I did, yeah.
You did. Mm-hmm. What did you find helpful about it?
I had no idea what to expect. And I just thought the dude was, he was very cool and he was helpful.
Okay.
Pop, have you ever been?
No.
Would you ever go?
Probably not.
No?
I just don't feel like, I don't know. Right?
No, I know. That's why I'm asking you.
The fact that I wouldn't means I probably should, but...
Funny, because the last episode, that's what Kurt said. And I go, everybody that says I don't need to go probably needs to go.
Well, so maybe you're like me, Jesse, is that like I felt like I don't know any other than comedians. No one I know, anybody I grew up with, anybody I'm friends with who are not comedians goes to therapy.
Yeah.
I felt like it's only like a rich boy comedian thing to do.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I also think sometimes... trying to figure out all of your problems can make you a little bonkers too.
Yeah.
Trying to articulate and reason everything can get you in your own head.
Sure.
Instead, shoving it down.
Yeah, shove it down.
Moving on. It never affects you.
Go for a run. Drink a couple beers.
Pour a little bit of beer on it.
You're good to go.
Just bury that under alcohol. Yeah. It doesn't tend to come out in any way.
And then maybe like once every 4 years you go, probably think about that one for a little bit.
Alone in my room.
Alone for a few weeks so you don't see anybody.
Well, I think that's one of my the interesting things I find about the dynamic of these guys is because I'm good friends with both of you. I'd say you're two of my closest friends in comedy.
Whoa.
Yeah. But I relate to, there's a side to either of you that appeals to a different side of me. I agree with Vince in the, you gotta go in with the open mind and you gotta work through your thing and whatever. But I also agree with what you're saying with, not wholeheartedly, but I partially do agree that if you talk too much about your problems, there is too much discussion about things these days.
Yeah.
Sometimes a problem is just a problem.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to feel sad sometimes. That's okay.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's going to be walking on sunshine 24
I think so.
Day.
I mean, obviously any emotion, if you wallow in it, is bad and can go to seed. But I think sometimes it's healthy to be angry or melancholy or whatever. And I think in trying to avoid that stuff, is what makes people sometimes a little weird sometimes.
Trying to avoid melancholy?
Yeah, or just being sad. Like, it's fine. Sometimes things are sad. It's fine. Just let it be sad for a little bit.
And actually, I think that that's a very smart thing, because I learned that last episode, I read a journal entry that was very sad. And around that time, I was feeling very sad. And I realized that if I just was okay with being sad, I was like, I'm not going to fight this feeling anymore. That's when it was okay.
Yeah.
And it would almost like I would be released from it because I stopped fucking fighting the sadness.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's like when somebody loses a spouse and they keep moving, you know, like they don't stop moving for like 3 months. And it's like, you got to stop and start crying. You got to deal with this.
It's a super specific example of which I'm unfamiliar with. But do you know somebody?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. But I know, this isn't a spouse one, but my dad, who is not good at expressing emotion until he hits some kind of shatters through a glass ceiling with it or whatever. But, you know, he
liberates women by shattering through the glass ceiling. He promotes women left and right with his anger.
He said, well, he's so quiet all the time and so calm. And then, like, he said to me very recently when a family member of ours died and we were all very upset, and he said, this just hit me very hard. And he goes, I don't think I ever grieved my brother dying.
Wow.
And he didn't. Because what my dad's a deacon in the church, so he's allowed to say mass. So he does say mass. So what my dad did when his own brother died was he conducted the mass. He didn't sit with the family and like.
He was just like working.
That's what I'm saying. Like some people just keep moving. Like,
yeah.
I'm fine. I'm going to be, it happens. We got to move on. And then it's like, if you stopped for 2 seconds, you would have a collapse.
Oh yeah. No, it's like a shark. It's like a shark who has to keep moving to breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and exactly. If you stop for a moment, just drowns.
Exactly. What are the moments let's get into some questions of things that I would imagine you guys probably don't discuss frequently when you're cracking open a Meisterbrau at Pop's house on a Monday night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Monday night beers,
yeah.
Always a fun time. I want each of you to tell us a thing that makes you genuinely sad.
Oh, jeez. I don't know. Well, you know, lots of things. I don't get super sad a lot.
Yeah, but when you do, what's a thing that'll get you and you go, ah, God damn it, I got to get out of the house.
I don't know.
I gotta go do something right now.
You know, think about a dog that died or something.
I don't know.
Just a random dog?
Well, like my mom died a couple years ago.
Sure.
Okay.
You know, but.
So for you, it's very tragedy related. It's like the absolute loss of, it's never like, you know, it really bums me out that people don't treat each other with more respect.
No, yeah, that's more anger. When people aren't nice, I just get mad because it doesn't make any sense. So it doesn't bum me out. It's just frustrating.
Right. Okay.
When people are shitheads.
But you'll okay. So then it is true. Like you'll derive sadness usually from an event.
Yeah.
Somebody's.
Well, you
lost
know what's funny? I don't get sad as much. Like my sadness gets turned into like stress and anger. I think not like violent anger. I've never been in a fight, but I'll just be crabby. Instead
right.
of like bummed out, you know.
See, you got to get a dog so you can kick it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it dies, and you're sad. You got to get another dog. You got to kick that one.
I just kick other people's dogs.
So, what do you like? Take us through that, though. What do you mean by it turns into stress and anger? So
I just get like I'll just chug coffee and smoke, and then I will like lose my appetite because I get stressed out, and then I'll like drink a bunch of beers and whatever.
Okay.
Listen to music, whatever.
Sure, but it's more sitting and staring and stewing.
Just stewing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. I'll get like that too sometimes with the loss of a loved one.
Yeah.
I'll be sad initially, and then it turns very quickly into anger at the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, how dare you do this to me? You know what I mean? Like, and it's just all, go fuck yourselves, you know?
Like, I get angry at the injustice of it. Like, the fact that, like, we found out that Lauren was pregnant a day after my mom's funeral, and my mom was a pediatric nurse. You know, like, her whole life was taking care of children, and all she wanted was for us to have a kid. And, like, that's what makes me, like, deeply sad, but it just quickly goes to anger at just being like, fuck, like, that she would have been so good at all of this stuff. She would have been able to tell us every question I would have had if the baby's being loud or something. I would have been able to call her.
Sure.
And so I think the sadness anger thing is like, it's real. It's sometimes difficult to differentiate.
Yeah, especially when you, you know, live in a town like this where you're surrounded by show business and, you know, you start to get really upset at, you know, looking at people standing in line to be like, is this farmed table? You know what I mean? You just want to be like, oh, fuck you.
You really, I think your level, your what would in other people be like base level annoyance becomes like world shattering anger for you.
Joe hates fresh food.
I don't like fresh food. No, I'm saying, though, in those moments, you see somebody so concerned over something so trivial.
Mm-hmm.
That was just a go-to example.
Sure.
And, it can be a little like, look, you don't see people standing in line like that in Chicago. You know what I mean? To get into the ramen place because it's the best organic
I don't know that
ramen.
You can say that.
You can't say that.
There's restaurants that are fucking hard to get into anywhere.
Every fucking Pittsburgh has a special ramen place that people wait in line
for. Yeah, and even in Michigan, there'll be a long line to get into Red Lobster or something, even if it's not a fancy town. People like their restaurants.
Sure, sure. Yeah. All right, it was a bad example.
Yeah.
Everybody doesn't need to pile on me.
Idiot.
You fucking say one more thing and we're going to kill you.
I'm just saying, we live in a town where people have a lot of time to tend to their idiosyncratic interests and whatever.
Yeah.
So when you're going through a rough time where you feel you've lost one of the most important people you've ever known, mm-hmm. if not the most important, and then you start seeing that everywhere, it's a little hard to deal with for a few days.
I agree.
Rest of the year, fine. You know? I got no beef with it. What about you, Avril? What makes you sad, man?
I think, generally speaking, children and...
In general.
Yes, children.
Just seeing children.
Children and then dogs a little bit, too. But for some of the same reasons, in as much as, like... You see a kid, and they don't know why things are happening. They can't if they're not getting something, or if something is they're being punished for something, or it's just like the idea that them, or the same way with a dog, when you can tell the dog is like, why am I getting shit right now? And it just makes me sad to think about like being a kid and just how fucking horrible and hard it is to be a kid and to not understand.
That's a great. Answer.
That's very.
Was it? Did you feel that way a lot as a kid?
I don't think I did. Although I will say that there's been points in my life where I was like, if I needed to cry on command, I would think about my brother, who is very much alive. But he is a guy who was kind of a nerd, and couldn't defend himself. Like I could always defend myself verbally. He was never able to spar that way, so he took a lot of heat and wasn't able to, like, take care of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, in that same way, like, I think my brother probably wouldn't say that he did either, but I think of it the same way of, like, you know, my brother just, like, getting shit and not knowing why he was getting shit and not able to protect himself.
Have you ever talked to him about that?
No. No. No, he likes to clean his guns in front of me. That's not the kind of shit we're talking about. In fact, I mean, the same way Pop's talking about...
Should be friends, man.
Well, the same way... I would have never gone to therapy if I wasn't forced, and not by the court, but, you know, it's the same... It's that same, like...
Who forced you to go?
A woman, but... my wife.
Your wife.
Another one. A woman.
We mentioned that you guys were coming on the last episode. We mentioned that you guys were going to be our guests on this one, and we mentioned that you were married to Georgia
Hart Stark,
who does podcasts on this network.
That's right.
So she was the one that prompted you to go, though.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Well, no, it's been great. It's been incredible for her.
Yeah.
And that's why
it's been incredible for her.
Well, no, I mean, that's nothing she wouldn't say. She's very open about it. And I think that's
you mean therapy's been incredible for her.
Okay.
Oh, I thought you going to therapy has been incredible
for
her.
She thinks everyone should go. And right. I think she also helped inform my idea of, like, you can't just go and be like, I got this thing I got to go. Like, you have to sort of just go into it being like, this is what I'm going to do now.
Right.
And if there is a point where it's either not working with that person, you go to another one, or but.
Your wife dug me out of a pit one night, man.
Yeah,
I don't even refer to her as your wife. You know,
Georgia.
I'm friends with all of your wives, but Jesse and I aren't married, and we'll probably do a common law thing at some point. but Georgia dug me out of. I don't know if you remember this. We went to Red Lion, and I was just in a bad place. You were there. Jesse was there. I was getting so wound up at how bad the waiter was being,
all right.
and how long it was taking, and I was just like. I was getting irrationally angry about it. I realize that now, but in the moment, it felt justified. And then I think Jesse, you were like, dude, relax, man. And then that got me all in my head, like, I'm being too crazy right now. And then I was like, fuck the world. Like, I was, because there was all this other shit behind it, obviously. Uh-huh. It wasn't the waiter setting me up. But then we went over to that tiki bar, mm-hmm. and you and Jesse were talking in the corner, and two other people were talking in that corner. And I sat with Georgia, and I was just like, dude, I went to a real dark place. And I was like, just nobody cares. Would anybody care if I wasn't even here? And, you know, and all this shit. And she was like, therapy, therapy, therapy. And I, at the time, had been out of therapy. And that was one of the things that motivated me to go back. And it was good advice. I really, you know, my hat's off for
that. What was behind it? What was behind it? The anger at the waiter. What was behind it? Do you remember?
I think it might have been during that time we were talking about in the last episode, when I was just felt like in between worlds. I didn't feel like I was fitting in here. I didn't feel like I could go back to New York. I felt very separated from my family emotionally. It was just a lot of stuff was going on.
You felt alienated.
And I didn't have a partner to turn to.
Yeah.
You know, and it's always tough when you move to a new city before you have what you feel is going to be your life kind of set into place, because, well, for multiple reasons, but here particularly, again, I'm not shitting on LA. It's just that this is a unique place. Here, if you feel like you don't have your life kind of on track the way you want it to be on track, you've got a lot of reminders around you.
Yeah. That other people are successful.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you're also in this sort of new place, and you're trying to lean way too hard on your friends who have been here longer than you. And then you can't do that. Yeah. You can lean on your friends a bit, but you can't. So you start feeling really isolated.
Also, in your defense, the service at Red Line is fucking horrible.
Well, it's really bad. Restaurants in LA are absolutely a trigger for you.
They are. That's
like, I've been to many restaurants where Joe is getting red hot.
That's very true.
I agree. That was one of the hardest things about moving from New York to LA, was going to get a coffee and just how fucking slow LA is compared with New York. New York City, they're taking your order down the line, and fucking here it's like fucking dick chats about fucking kombucha for 20 minutes while you wait for your goddamn coffee.
Oh, but I think it's the...
Yeah, remember when you said that the little things were earth shattering to me? Jesus Christ. thank you. You had the references I was looking for earlier. That's when you want to be like, my uncle died.
Yeah.
Fuck you and your fucking pomegranate. You know what I mean? But
So let's get back to these guys, too, because I want to know how you guys met.
Yeah,
well.
that's important. Take us through it, guys. Well, Where'd you guys meet?
When I first started doing comedy, I was at Second City in Detroit, and a guy I was there with was like, you should write 5 minutes and I'll get you on somewhere. And so then I started going to the show where he would eventually get me on, which was this weekly in Ann Arbor that Brent Sullivan was doing, and John F. O'Donnell and some other people. And so I go to sort of stake it out a couple times before I get on. And Jesse goes on, and they introduce him as having been on Premium Blend on Comedy Central. So I'm already like, holy shit, man, this dude's like... a TV star. I don't know what he's even doing here right now.
Right. I thought the same thing.
But once I started, then we just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, we just started doing shows. And we were all, there's a handful of clubs and one-nighters. And
Michael Costa, too.
Costa and open mic. So we just were.
It's a good crew of guys you had out there.
So that was what, like 03, 04?
Something, yeah.
And then... New Year's Day 05, we're like, we should move out to New York in 06.
And then, like, literally, I got to New York January 4th of 2006.
Now, pump the brakes for a second, because you skipped over a couple key moments that I'm interested in. So you start hanging out because you're doing shows.
Mm-hmm.
Every friendship has that moment where you suddenly realize, oh, this is like my boy. You know what I mean? There's a hang where you kind of go... I think most people have that. I had it with both you guys. We were at, I'll never forget this, we were at El Chavo. It was you, me, it was the two of you, me, and Brent Sullivan and Matt McCarthy. And we were sitting at the bar at El Chavo, and it was like the fifth time we had all hung out together. And I said to you guys, guys, I feel like this is like, you guys are like my crew. Like, I feel like you're like gonna, like, you're like my LA crew. Like, you guys are like my friends.
Like, you're the boss and we're your
crew. Yeah. Like, you're my workers.
Like,
yeah.
Get to work, make me have fun.
But I remember saying that to you guys because, like, that was the hang where I was like, these are like my boys. Like, these are the dudes I call on Friday night now. You know what I mean? To hang out. So, like, what was the, can you remember?
Well, the show where we met was called the Heidelberg. That was the bar. And after the show,
Was it near the Heidelberg Project?
No.
Okay.
That's in
Detroit. Oh, yeah. Ann Arbor.
Yeah. Okay. It's a bar. So we'd all do the show. It was a free bar show, but it was just like a fun, it was always packed.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like a real show. And then we'd go downstairs in the basement and then just hang out and drink. And that's where we all started hanging out a lot.
I think the first time I remember hanging out with you, though, outside of that, we went to the casino in Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
And we went to the casino. But I don't know that I would only point to that as the first time that we hung out, as far as I remember, individually outside of the shows we were doing. But I don't know that I thought at the time, like, okay, well, now we're...
How long after you met, how many years after you met was it until you said, let's move to New York?
So it was a couple of years in.
Yeah.
Because it was, Michigan kind of runs its course. You do the one-nighters, you do the, feature spots.
You MC, you feature, and then you're either going to, like, bang around there forever or you're going to take off.
So right. I was kind of itching to maybe get something going.
But you guys had known each other for about 2 years at that point?
Yeah, 2 or 3 years.
Okay, so at this point, you're in like Flynn, right?
Yeah.
You're pretty tight. Because that's a big moment, too, when you know somebody, when somebody's a friend enough that you're like, let's go live together in another place where it's going to be really hard to live.
Yeah.
And you trust we will not murder one another.
And where did you guys move?
Well, we had never lived together before until we got to New York, but yeah.
And where'd you move in New York City?
Brooklyn.
The shitball.
Borum Street, between Manhattan and Graham off the Montrose stop.
Okay.
And it was
probably like the hippest, one of the hippest areas.
Well, what we did was, I found this sublet through a friend right in Williamsburg, like right on Driggs, right off the strip, as it was and is. And we got there within like a week or so of each other. I was already sleeping in the one room. He came and slept on the couch until we could get out of there. But in the meantime, I had a job, or no, I didn't have a job. He had a job. And so it was kind of hard for anybody to like do anything for us, you know? So we ended up getting this broker. And I remember when he finally found this place, he was like, listen, we're going to go in, talk to this guy. Don't say anything. Let me talk to him in Spanish. And then sure enough, we just sat there and then they just handed us the fucking lease for this apartment that was like brand new, but was made of every single item of that place was the cheapest possible item you could make something out of. And like, there wasn't gas for a while. And
the power would go out and they only spoke Spanish. Like one time our power went out and I called the landlord and he's downstairs and I go, so when is the power going to be back on? And he goes, I stand here. Electricity. And then I was like, okay. And then like 2 hours later, the power came back on and I'm like reading a magazine with like a flashlight. I have like $5.
And we were the only people that lived in that building except for the landlords who lived on the very first floor. But then the next tenants was a full fucking rock band that they moved into the floor below us who then proceeded to just act like it was a studio.
And I would yell at them and they would go.
They were intimidated by
Jesse. Did it ever come to blows? Because it sounds like this was a stressful situation to be in.
Between us?
Living. Yeah.
Between the two of you, did you
ever? One time, we only got...
we've only had one, like, real, like, serious... Nothing physical, but a very heated exchange in front of a lot of people at our apartment.
It's the dumbest thing ever.
Give it to us.
Now we laugh about it.
So the night before WrestleMania every year is the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Stone Cold Steve Austin is being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
And for anybody that might not know, Vince is the biggest... He's not just the biggest wrestling fan. His fandom of wrestling is the biggest fandom I've ever witnessed in my life. Like, I don't know anybody that loves anything as much as you love wrestling. And you have a podcast. We watch wrestling.
We watch wrestling
podcasts.
Check
that out. Yeah.
So, we had some people over and we're hanging out. drinks are being drunk. And these guys start whine and pop up about whether or not McDonald's delivers. And it just keeps going. And it just keeps coming back up.
But wait, Jesse, why are you getting upset?
No, it was Greg Johnson, and he was saying that they deliver. I go, no, they don't. And I couldn't tell if he was doing a bit or if he's just being dumb. And I was, so we kept.
so Pop kept going, wait a minute, do they?
And we're all, and then it would go back a few again. Beers in, yes. too. So yes. we're like joking about it and like whatever. And
but,
I think.
But increasingly, I can't hear the TV, and the same conversation is happening again. And again, and I finally just snapped, and I fucking started yelling at Jesse in his face.
He got up in my face, and he was like, "Shut the fuck up!" And then I was like, "Wait, is Vince mad?" And then I'm like, "Now I'm mad," but I'm like, "This isn't good because we're both really mad." So I broke off. I went into my room, lit up a cigarette, and then Vince went for a left.
Walk. Yeah.
And then
more
stewing.
And you were like, "Here's the anger came from because you were trying to watch Stone Cold get it
inducted in the Hall of Fame, and so was everybody else. So that's what they were there for.
Oh, yes. So it's my fault.
No.
But no, I was trying to understand like his anger at it.
No.
Yeah, because that's why I brought up what a fan of wrestling is. That to Vince, that's like watching, that's like a football fan watching the draft or something.
Right.
Like
you're trying to really, fact,
that's like a big thing. Okay. You know?
Unrelated to this event, which was an anomaly, I will very much curate who watches any sort of wrestling event with me. Now, yeah. I don't just, it's not like, hey, come on over and watch the thing. Like, I have to be like, okay, that person can come or can't.
That's how I am with, the way you are with wrestling is the way I am with Star Wars. I won't let certain people, I will not go see, and thank God this didn't happen. Like Jared Logan, dear friend of mine, I almost saw Rogue One with him, and then we didn't, and I'm glad we didn't, because he hated it and I loved it. Like, but I will not go see a Star Wars movie with somebody that might hate it, because I'm like, don't ruin this for me, man. Like, this is, I don't want to hear fucking jokes. I don't want to hear wisecracks. Like, this is, like, special for me.
That being said, Popman is on the short list of people who are always welcome to watch wrestling pay-per-views.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotten past it.
Pop is not allowed to see Star Wars movies with
no,
you.
No, that wouldn't be a good idea.
As much as I love wrestling, he hates Star Wars.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so that was the time it came to blows, and probably were you living under better or easier circumstances that might not have even happened.
Or maybe not have been drinking as much.
Yeah. Now, here's the positive side of that coin. It sounds like, to me, then, given the fact that you only had one blow-up and it was over the most trivial thing, it sounds like you guys really were instrumental. You were the pillars for one another.
But hold on. Before you go to that, did you guys have, like, a reconciliation that night?
Yeah, well, not that night. Not that night, but I remember the next day Jesse saying to me, like, hey, I just want to be sure here that that wasn't related to anything else.
Okay.
That you were just pissed about what was going on right then, and that you weren't fucking pissed about something else, and that's how it manifested.
Interesting. Mm. So that's actually a very...
Do you remember that?
I think that's a very mature way to handle it,
sure.
Jesse. So you were worried that it was like something else is going on.
Because oftentimes, when people get mad, it's, you know, it's something else.
Yeah.
When it's something dumb.
As ridiculous as that was.
Just like how, personally, like, if you snap, like, all these things are going on, and then, like, you spill coffee on your pants, and that's when you flip out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's something, you know, it's something else that's going on, but...
No, but Pop is a very thoughtful man. Like, you know, he's very considerate when it comes to those sort of... Like, we got into an argument once at a what's the bar from Swingers? The Dresden.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where you were saying...
The Dresden, for those of you who don't know, is if David Lynch opened a bar in Los Angeles, that's what it would be. It's a real creepy, weird bar from the 30s.
And you're only in there to get drunk.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's going in there for the mood.
or to see Marty and Elaine. Or
yeah,
at least
Marty
nobody
and Elaine
I know.
Play
but...
there. Yeah, if you ever saw Swingers, it's the bar they go to when the older couple is playing Staying Alive. That's Marty and Elaine. They still play there every night.
It's crazy.
But it's a fun little place to go. But we were in the Dresden, and Pop, we got into an argument, a debate about George Carlin, and I was saying that he was a genius till the end, and you were saying that you hated when you saw...
I saw him live once, and I think I caught him on a bad night, and so it's just kind of a funny story. And just, I never... It happened like 12 years ago.
Right.
And he did this one crazy bit, and... just by chance, that story came up like two or three times over the past couple months, and then and you love George Carlin, and somehow Kane, you're like, shut the fuck up, this goddamn story, like, you, and we're in the middle of hanging out, and we have friends there, and you're going, what the fuck, I'm sick
in the booth across from each other,
and you also got mad at me because you thought I was making fun of you because you had said Godfather 3 was better than The Sopranos.
This is amazing.
I kept bringing it up. I thought we were just having fun and giving each other the business, and then you like flipped out, and we were, and then so I left. I go, let's go to the bar, and I'm going, Joe, what's going on? He's like, God damn it! And you're all mad. But I think we kind of smoothed it out.
We did, and that was a time, like you're saying, you're like, there's something else behind this. He's not that mad about this right now. And then I said to you, I'm mad because I feel like you're always giving me shit about my taste and stuff. And I was like, I don't like it, man. I'm just trying to tell you, like, stuff I like. And, like, I don't like that you make fun of it, man. And then you were like, no, dude, I'm sorry. Like, I thought we were having fun. And then we walked, not walked home together, but we walked sort of home together because we had to walk in the same direction. But I remember this is when I was like, Jesse's really thoughtful. You were really like, we're cool, right, man? Like, I'm really sorry. And then I was like, I'm sorry too, dude. And like, you know, but you were so considerately attentive.
Yeah.
To that being diffused, and then it never happened again. But like,
then as soon as you walked away, I was like, that fucking weirdo.
Sensitive.
Okay.
But that was, but the point of that story is not I got mad at Jesse because of this dumb thing, which I did, and it was dumb. The point of the story is Jesse's a very, very, for the guy that's like, I don't really go to therapy or whatever, he's very thoughtful, very considerate, very tuned in to the way people are feeling, which is a great quality. And so are you.
So now you guys were living in New York, and then did you guys move to LA together?
No. I moved in 2011, and then you came out, a couple years ago?
Yeah, I showed up in 13. Yeah.
Okay, so it was 2 years apart. And then right when you guys got back to living in the same town, was it just like, boom, friends again?
The first person I was living in a room in some friend's house for a little while after I got here. So I literally went there, dropped my bags, hi, and then met Pop at the bar like immediately.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
But now, and then you got married last year.
That's right.
And so now I'm assuming that is a new factor in your guys' relationship, right?
Well, I mean, in New York, I had a girlfriend who lived with us.
Oh, so all three of you guys lived together?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we lived together alone for maybe two and a half or three years.
And then this girl moved in for like a year or so. And then we haven't lived together since.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how is that? I mean, how is that like going from having just a buddy who's living with you to having a couple living with you?
It's fine. I mean, yeah, it wasn't like she was fine. Yeah, it was. I'm pretty easygoing as long as somebody's not like a dickhead or anything.
And that apartment was kind of like you had two rooms that were large and of equal size. There was a lot of space to get out of each other's way.
And also, we both had day jobs and doing comedy and stuff. So it isn't like it was like
in the house all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's New York City. You're never home.
And I can say as a spectator, I wasn't really, I didn't know Vince at all in New York, really. I just knew you because I would do that beauty bar show you guys had. And I would just say hello. But like, I didn't even have your number or anything. And then Pop, I hung out with a little bit right before he moved. So I didn't know either of these guys very well. But like, as a spectator of a friendship, you guys, it clearly didn't affect them because it was always Jesse and Vince.
When we got to New York, it was almost a thing where like people couldn't separate us for a little while because we were always because it's like we both just moved there, so it's like we're gonna go to this show tonight, we're gonna go to this show.
I was like that for 2 years with Jay Oakerson, where when I moved out of his apartment and stopped showing up everywhere with him, people would be like, where's Jay? Right. And then you'd be like, well, I'm a person too, so let me just
I'm on my own.
Yeah,
well, I don't, it's not like that, but I think we both still field questions about the other person when we're not together.
Sure, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Not like, where's he, but like, oh, but, you know.
Right,
like,
right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, would you guys say like the majority still of your social time is with each other?
It's got to be pretty close.
Yeah, it's close. Yeah, I mean, I hang out with you guys, you know, all the people, you know, Logan, Brent, whoever, you know, all those guys. But yeah, I usually I hang out with Vince at least once or twice a week.
Right.
And Vince in Georgia.
Yeah.
That old battle axe. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Georgia's great.
Oh, cool. Thanks for clearing it up.
I would still say that you guys spend, I would answer yes to that question because I'm still.
I don't see you
surprised
independently.
When I find myself. Yeah, right. When I find myself hanging out with either one of you and the other guy's not there, I'm kind of like, oh, I guess he's not around today. You know
he's
what
out
I mean?
Of town.
Like, or whatever. And I always try to reach out to both of you independently because you're my friends. But there are times where I'm like, wait, oh, that's okay, cool. You know, whatever. But I think what's really cool here is that you guys, without ever, I'm assuming, ever having have said it to one another, you're clearly a support system for one another. You helped each other sanely navigate. Anybody that's gone through it knows. You moved to New York. I mean, it is terrifying. It's so hard. It's so expensive. You feel so alone. It's so overwhelming. I mean, there's no city on planet Earth that will make you feel as much like a bum as New York will. You know what
and
I mean?
And if there is one, it's Los Angeles.
Yeah. And by bum, I mean
that you
like,
don't have hustle.
Like, just like, but like, just like you're not part of this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It'll really get in your fucking head because you can't. Just to go to a goddamn movie, you're like, I can't afford it. It's too much money.
Yeah.
And I don't know my way around, and how do I get to this place? Excuse me, can I have directions? Fuck you! You know what I mean? Like, it's a very intimidating place. So, I think you guys were clearly a support system for one another. And then I think clearly you did the same coming out here. Like, you know, like, it was probably nice to know that Jesse had touched down out here, and then you could come and
oh, no, for sure. Cause, I mean, what had happened was I had to leave New York to take care of my father back in Michigan. And so then once that was done, I was like, well, what am I going to do? Go back to New York? And then I was looking this way and I'm saying, you know, Pop is here, McCarthy's here, Brent is all my guys were here, you know? So I was like, well, I might as well just go that way, you know? Okay. So it was absolutely like a huge part of the decision.
Okay.
In which way I went, you know?
That's great. I mean, now we're basically coming to the close here, but I want to do a segment with you guys. We both want to do a segment with you guys called Air It Out. And I think today this segment's going to take on some new meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Air It Out is usually there's a slight grievance that one of you has with the other, and here's the safe space where you can just say, this has been kind of bugging me a little bit. It doesn't have to be that. It can also just be, here's a thing that I've always wanted to explain to you that I've never been able to explain properly. Or here's a thing that I think you think this and it's actually not that. It doesn't have to be a negative thing is my point.
Mm-hmm. But if it's a negative thing, that's okay.
Yeah. So airing it out, just getting something off your chest, one with the other. Do either of you have something like that?
No, I don't think so, right?
You don't have anything?
Well, air like a thing that pisses me off?
Doesn't have to be pisses you off.
Something maybe you've always just wanted to say, but there's never a right time to say it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it'd be weird. Yeah. But here it's like, nah, it's okay. This is the weird part.
Yeah.
Vince?
Well, I think, and this is a story that I know the Pop Man loves. So as you're talking about New York, right? Having gone through all that shit and like just grinded together and been broke as fuck and like
sure.
Everything we did. And then when Jesse got the job at Conan and he was leaving, the last night before he left, we go out drinking, and then we're going and we're parting company, and I started crying, and believe me when I tell you, my wife hasn't seen me cry.
Right.
Like, it's not a thing.
Right.
And for better or for worse, not saying it in a way that, you know, I'm
sure.
Whatever. And Pop's like, hey, don't worry, man. It'll work out for you. Like, in a way that was like, don't worry, you'll get a job or whatever else.
No, it's I meant, I know, but
I'm just, like, at the time, I was like, no, man, I'm just, like, sad that you're leaving, that we've been through this whole thing, and you're doing this. And
amazing.
No, I was just like, yeah, no, we're at the gas. I go, yeah,
we're
man,
in front
no,
of a gas station.
No, and I'm like, yeah, no, yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, I just don't, yeah, no, I mean, you know.
Now, here's the thing. If you don't have an air it out thing for Vince, your thing can just be, how did you feel in that moment where your best buddy is crying and it's been all beers and shots and talking to girls and comedy, and now all of a sudden here's this guy like kind of breaking down in front of you? Very real moment.
No, yeah, I mean, of course, I am a sentimental guy and stuff. I'm just not, I don't, like verbally express. I more like in, you know, I've had that problem with like girls sometimes. They're like, I never know what you're thinking, and I'm like, who cares? You know, it's more the,
who cares?
It's more like it's more just like you know, through actions and, you know, loyalty and hanging out. So when someone is, when Vince, I was like, oh wow, okay, yeah, but yeah, of course I agreed.
Okay,
you know?
And I'll get that too. I've gotten that the thing where you're like, well, I'm doing all these things to show you that I care. Why don't you just understand?
Sure,
you know. Yeah. And it's sure.
And I also think that response too that you had, Jesse, which is like, hey, it's gonna be okay. You're in some way trying to, like, make it okay for right. Vince, but Vince is at that time saying, like, I'm feeling this right now. You know, I'm, like, deeply sad you're leaving.
And I was sad to leave, too, as also, like, it's a mix of, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's more of, like, in the moment, you're just like, this, it's because it feels out of nowhere, and you're just trying to be like, can we just not do this? Because you don't want to do it. I didn't want to do it either. I wasn't trying to do it.
Yeah.
Sure.
And that also is a weird thing, because when someone else is having an emotional response, and you just aren't at that level where, like, you just, it's not because you don't feel that, but at that moment, you're not about to cry as well. It always is weird. I had this moment at the shower, and I think it was a buddy who was kind of drunk, you know, but I was like singing to Lauren's belly where the baby is, and I was singing the song, and he was like, what song is that? And I was like, oh, it's a song that my mom used to sing to me, and then I sang it to her when she was dying. And then he just started bawling, crying. And I was like, whoa, it's my story. And it's like, what are you doing? And then I had to like comfort him, and it kind of annoyed me. And I was like, yeah, okay. But it's like, it's my mom's the one who's dead.
Wow, that's amazing. That's emotional angst. Guys, thanks for coming in. Do you got anything to plug?
Yeah.
We Watch Wrestling Podcast every Wednesday, 3:16 a.m.
I recorded an album. It's not coming out. It's not out yet. Well, Vince is going to put it out on his label.
Yeah, nice.
So whenever that, I don't have the information on that.
But, All right,
just
great.
Keep Googling it.
My new Comedy Central special is probably out by now, but just in case it's not, February 3rd at midnight, February 5th at 1 a.m., album and downloadable video February 7th.
And my special is out at Comedy Central March 3rd, and... yeah, so check it out. It's called Trust Me. Thank you, guys. Vince Averill, Jesse Pop.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys. Later, Joe.
See you, buddy. Feral Audio.